I'm going to call Jaden and Dale up here right now. I have the privilege of digging into the Word with these two fine young men. And by the way, I forgot an announcement. Greg gave this to me, and he said, there in the bulletin it says that there's a care home service today at Yakulta Lodge, and there is not a care home service today. So if you're planning on going there, don't go. There will be one in January 10th, 2 p.m. All right, so we've got Dale and Jaden, and we're going to be digging into God's Word. Mm. Dale, of course, is the chairman of the board at CRBC, and Jaden, you went to Kaleo Bible School at Kiwanis Bible Camp for a year, and Jaden wrote a paper on biblical giving and tithing, and he got to choose the topic, and for some reason he chose a topic on giving and tithing, and I thought that was really interesting and unusual that a young person like you would choose that topic. So why did you do that?
Well, it is a little bit weird considering I am a poor university student. Why would I choose to write on giving? I mean, you can't give what you don't have, ladies and gentlemen. So, that being said, our professor, he looked at us and he said, "Hey guys, I want you to pick a topic revolving around the church, whether it be leadership or political issues," and I chose mine to be giving. And only like three or four people maximum were allowed to write for this topic. And I chose this topic because I knew that this was an area that I had struggled in, and basically, I wanted to reach a biblical understanding of what it means to truly give. And I found through this paper that I reached that point, which is fantastic.
Okay. So now you talked a little bit about the struggle that you had with giving. Can you flesh that out a little bit? What was the struggle that you had?
Well, many moons ago when I was back in high school and stuff, I know that through the years, like on and off, my finances were always either I give it to the church, I was like, yes, you know, I'm going to tithe this week, it's going to be great, or I'm just going to hold it back and I'm going to save this. And I realized that needed to stop, and I needed to be convicted of my wrongdoings, and I was like, okay, I'm going to write this, and I want to understand what it means to have a heart of giving.
Mm. Yeah, and there is a lot of misunderstanding about giving in the church, and mm-hmm. and have Dale up here with us as well, and I've gotten to know Dale very well in the last 2.5 years. He's a great partner in the ministry, and I could not do my job as the pastor of this church without Dale, and he's very passionate. He loves CRBC, loves the Lord, and I've seen Dale that you've grown. We've talked a lot about giving in the last 2.5 years that we've known each other, and you're growing in a passion for giving as well. Have you always been passionate about giving? Has it ever been a struggle for you? Can you tell us a little bit about your journey with giving?
Yeah, well, thank you. That was very kind of you to say those things.
Well, it's true. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
I don't know. I think you could run the church or do what you do without me.
I know. That's true.
But, it hasn't been easy, giving, or even an understanding of giving. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'd been taught from the time I was little to strive to be a good giver and to be generous and to be faithful in giving. And, my parents have been a really good example of that, of giving and being generous, and I thank them for that. But for many, many years, I had a real misunderstanding around giving. I sort of understood it as just another responsibility. And at times it cultivated a sense of guilt, a deep sense of guilt around giving. Was it giving enough? Was it giving to the proper things? And that led to doing things, giving in a way that was probably incorrect, giving to things that I deemed most important. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give to that. I'm not going to give to this. Essentially, voting with my wallet. So, and one of the big misunderstandings was the importance of my church. Mm. There's tons of things especially today that we have the opportunity to give to. Mm-hmm. And many people are generous, but why the church? That was a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Why the church? Why give mm-hmm. to the church when I can give to all
so
sorts
many
of
other
things?
So
many things.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, Jesus has given the church a mission. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But we have an opportunity to be a part of what he's doing in the mission that he's given us on this earth. So we're going to dig into God's Word now. Now, Jaden wrote this paper, and we're going to use sort of that paper, some of the research that Jaden's done as the framework for what we're going to talk about this morning. And so let's go back to the Old Testament and give us some background of tithing in the Old Testament. What is tithing, or what was tithing? Because we're going back several thousand years. So what was tithing, and what was its purpose?
Okay, I'll start with a little bit of Greek. I know Steve, big shout out to my main man Steve, he's Greek. So this is for you, Steve. So we have aparche, I think I butchered that word, but aparche is the Greek word used for gift of the first fruits, an offering, or a gift. And this is very similar to giving, but it's a little bit different. And giving is defined as giving a tenth of one's produce. So the first fruits.
Tithing, that's a tithe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, tithing is giving. So the first account, also known as like the principle first, you look at Old Testament, the first account of where tithing and giving happened was with Abraham. And Abraham and Melchizedek have this meeting, and Abraham gives him a tenth of everything that he owns. And in turn, Melchizedek blesses Abraham. And through that, you see that continue through the legacy of Israel throughout the Old Testament and well into the New Testament. And it turned into giving your first and best of everything that you had to the Lord as a way of saying thank you. And this is just a small part of what I have. And that being said, God, he's a genius, by the way, he created this awesome system for Israel. And with this tithing system, he said, okay, I need you to give me, you know, just a tenth, 10%, you know, it's no big deal. But at the same time, that 10% was used by the Levites, who were the priests, who took in, and their duties were to handle the sacrifices, handle the offerings, handle the tithing of the Israelites. And so the Israelite, their brothers and sisters, the Levites, they took care of them through their offerings. So not only were we returning our thanks to God in just a small way, they were also providing for the Israelites. So that's a little bit of a background.
Okay. And so first fruits, then you talk about first fruits. That's basically taking, like you said, the first and the best. So if we go back to the Old Testament, they were agrarian, you know, in their culture and their economy, and so they would literally give the first fruits of their crops
of the herd of
livestock,
everything they had.
Yeah. So first fruits, and that's the principle of first fruits. Okay, so that's the Old Testament. Very quickly, very simply, let's take a look at the New Testament now, and then we're going to take a look at how does that relate to us in the 21st century, because we are no longer under the Old Testament Mosaic law, where they were obligated by Jewish law to Mosaic law to give a tenth of everything, right? So we aren't under that now. You know, Jesus satisfied the law when he came. He totally satisfied it by his death and his resurrection on the cross 2,000 years ago. So it's a game changer. And in the New Testament, there really is no command to tithe. There is no command to tithe. Jesus has lots to say about giving. He has lots to say about being generous. He has lots to say about how we use our money, but there is nothing in the New Testament about tithing. The closest that we come is where Jesus confronts the Pharisees and the teachers of the law about how they're using their tithes, how they tithe their money. And the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they were very strict with their tithe. And so Matthew 23:23, let's take a look at that. Dale, would you read that, please?
Sure. Matthew 23:23. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things.
Okay, so that's the closest we have to any teaching about a tithe in the New Testament. And so Jesus confronted the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and these very religious people. Jesus said that they tied heavy weights on people. They kept their thumb on people. And he said, you search far and wide for a single convert, and then you don't lift a finger to help them. And so they were very careful to observe the law, even to the point of tithing, that is giving a tenth of their little herb gardens, when they snip off a little bit of their cilantro or whatever and make sure that it's 10%, not 11%, but 10%. And so very careful, but they forgot about people. They forgot the reason that they were giving the tithe. Now we're going to take a look at the New Testament now and then talk about how it relates to us, because does God even care about how we use our money? Does he really care? So turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 1. And Jaden, why don't you read that first verse?
Sure. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia.
Okay, so let's set the context here. It's really important when you read the Bible, you need to know the context, because we need to derive the original meaning that the original author intended for the original audience. And so what's going on here, Jim?
So you take a look at what Paul is saying here, and he's informing the Corinthians of the generosity and love of the Macedonians, and he is using their example to really set the bar as he begins to, later on in the passage that we're going to read, as he unravels what it truly means to give to the church. And Paul uses this. He has the opportunity to share the why we give part in this context to the Corinthians, which is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, cool. So, Dale, would you read the next verses there from verse 2?
So starting in verse 2, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem.
Okay, so here we have Paul talking to the church in Corinth. He's talking about the Macedonian church, who is quite poor. What stands out here to you, Dale?
Well, it's contradictory. They're very poor. At the same time, they are filled with joy and overflowing in rich generosity. Mm-hmm. And they're giving away more than they can afford. And they're doing it of their own free will for the privilege of it.
They aren't being coerced.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
really.
They aren't being manipulated.
Right.
Yeah.
So when I had read that last week or a while ago, I wondered about generosity. And so I kind of like facts, and I like to Google things. And so I wondered, who are the most charitable people? Mm-hmm. Is there something that stands out? Where do Canadians sit in that? Where do Christians sit in that? That sort of thing. So I found out that according to the World Giving Index, which seems to be a real thing, mm-hmm. World Giving Index, if you've never heard of it, I had this question before I get there. Does anybody know what the most charitable country in the world is according to the World Giving Index in 2015?
Who knows?
Any guesses?
Spain? Somebody heard Spain? Nobody. Somebody says the U.S.?
Canada, maybe. You're pretty charitable.
Tell us the answer.
The most charitable country in 2015, according to this index, is Myanmar. formerly Burma. You look at a map and you look just to the right of India, you'll see this country. They're the 23rd poorest nation on earth. Hmm. They have a, the average person makes just over about $100 a month in this country. And you're not so bad. Canada's number four.
It's pretty good.
We're the 11th richest, but we're a little bit below Myanmar.
You take a look at the disparity, Canada being the 11th richest country in the world, and we're number four, and Myanmar being the 23rd poorest country in the world, and they are the number one giver. And so it doesn't, wealth, how much, doesn't matter, but there's a heart thing there.
Yeah,
right?
I could see it in this verse.
Yeah, you know, very much.
They were poor, yet they had this overflowing generosity.
Yeah. Cool. Let's continue on there. Jaden, would you read from verse 5?
Sure. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving.
Now, I find this quite interesting, you know, thinking about excelling at giving, becoming better at giving. How many of you have ever gone, studied at a giving university? I mean, we get better at a lot of different things. We study a lot of different things so we can become better at a lot of different things. I have tried hard to become a better photographer, and I try to become better at that. And how about you guys? What do you guys like to become better at? How about Dale?
Well, I am an old guy now, Jeff, and yes. So I don't work too hard at becoming better at many things.
I think you're becoming better looking.
Well, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, in my dreams late at night, mm-hmm. I still imagine and dream that I'm becoming a better hockey player.
Okay, better hockey player.
Better skier.
Better skier.
It doesn't work in real life, but I do want to be a better person.
Mm-hmm. Just a second. There's a photo that's not coming up.
Oh no. Yeah.
Where is it?
I love technical glitches.
There we go.
Hey, there it is.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's Dale and his nightmares about becoming a better skier.
I feel your pain, Adrian. I do want to become a better Christ follower.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful that you've been opening up to us and teaching us what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And even within giving, within this passage. It seems like generosity is a big component of
that. Huge part of that, yeah. So. Yeah. How about you, Jaden? What do you want to become better at?
Better at, well, by day, I work in a daycare. But what most people don't know, on weekends, I'm a part-time superhero.
Part-time superhero, yeah. That's great. That's
pretty good.
Really...
It's pretty legit. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, look at that one.
Thank you, Mom and Dad. You're over there somewhere.
So, Jaden, the part-time, and you go to school for this. How do you become a better superhero?
I would love to share that with you, Jeff, and all you wonderful people, but there are some supervillains out there that might take advantage of that information. So,
okay.
For the safety of,
we'll
of myself and you guys, I gotta keep that.
Okay.
Under
well,
rest.
Thank you.
on a serious note, though, something that I like personally work very hard at is my encounters and experience with people, whether it is a friend or a stranger. I want to make it my very best effort to make sure that they're having a good day, that that they're smiling, and to overall feel like they're talking to their best friend. And I realize that's a very difficult task. Like every single conversation, experience, encounter you have with someone, that's too many to count. But at the same time, like when we're called to be like Christ, that's the attitude, that's a mindset that we have to understand, that it's not just for selective people. It's not just for, oh, today I'm going to be like Christ and tomorrow I can be like somebody else. It has to be every single person. And that's a very big task.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think that's really, and it does take a lot of practice, mm-hmm. right? and to always have that in your mindset, and to remember that every conversation that we have, every single conversation that we have throughout the day, we have an opportunity to bring that conversation either forwards or backwards, or have it remain stagnant by the things we say, and even by the things we think, because it starts out here, right? So what are we thinking, and are we really out to bless and to love and to serve and to give, or are we all about me? All right, let's carry on. Verse 8. Who's going to read that? Who read the last one?
Do you want to read?
Sure. Okay. I am not commanding you to do... verse 8, sorry. I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches.
All right. I think this is a super interesting comment that Paul makes here. We've already said that in the New Testament we're not under the law, right? And so tithing is not a command that we have to follow so that God will love us more, or so that He'll be pleased with us. But how we use our money is a barometer that reveals the condition of our hearts. You have anything to say about that, Dale?
Yeah, I always. You're engaging.
I am so engaging. Yeah, I know. You're just dumbfounded.
I've lost my way. That's right. It's one of the things I thought of within that is that for me, after 40 years or more than that now, 40 plus years of regularly attending church, it's only in the past few that I've come to realize how privileged we are to be in this family. This global family, this Christian family, and that we as individual Christ followers, collectively we make up the bride of Christ, and we are being called to participate in God's plan. And when Jesus left the earth, he left the church, and this is part of his plan. We are his plan to spread and cultivate the gospel, and we are to do that until he returns. And so our attitude and actions towards generosity and giving is clearly one indicator of where we see ourselves in his plan. Mm-hmm. And so, it's taken me a long time to realize how privileged we are to be a part of that.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Jaden.
Yeah, another Greek word for you, Steve. That's right. Back to your heritage. So, haplotes is another Greek word that Paul uses in this passage. And what it means, what it describes, is the giving and unity found within the church, which is absolutely fantastic. Because as ambassadors of Christ, the world sees how generous we are, how we view giving, and it's not something that the church just does by itself. It has to be comprised of, every single person has to make that decision. And then as everyone makes that small decision of saying, yes, I want to be generous, yes, I want to be someone who's known for giving, then that starts affecting the church, and then the church starts affecting the community starts affecting the nation, and that's how you change the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's this cascading effect.
Yeah, it's the ripple
happens,
effect.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, verse 9. Jaden, why don't you read that?
All right, verse 9. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich.
It's in this verse, what stood out for me is how it was really interesting. I'd never paid attention to the fact that grace, the word grace, was prefaced by the word generous. Mm-hmm. And that grace in itself is generous by nature. Mm-hmm. God's perfect grace,
absolutely,
is the ultimate expression of generosity.
Yeah, and so 2,000 years ago, Jesus satisfied the law on the cross, and so we don't give out of an obligation now, or so that God will love us. We give because we get to give. There's a totally different mindset. God has stamped His image on our hearts. And part of His image, part of His character, is that He is a generous God. He loves to give. And then so we get to partner with Him. We get to participate with Him in his character. Pretty amazing.
I find it just so interesting how grace is right in the middle of this passage. Here we are talking about giving and tithing and stuff, and then all of a sudden grace just pops up out of nowhere, which is absolutely fantastic. And I think about that, and I realize that, like, you know, Jesus had all the money in the world when he was in heaven. He had everything he ever needed, but he left that behind and he came to earth, and he joined us here. He became poor so he could make us rich in Him.
Yes.
And that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. Verse 10. How about I read that? Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Now, this whole passage, this section is interesting because Paul's talking to a group of people who are not necessarily wealthy. As a matter of fact, Paul says they are quite poor, but they're excited about giving what they have. So what's so exciting about giving?
I was looking at that and that question, and I can't help but think back to so much of Jesus' instruction, and so many of the things that He tells us, and so many things are contrary to my human nature, and opposite. And He said it's more blessed to give than to receive, and so maybe He meant that.
Maybe He did.
Maybe when He
maybe
said
he actually
that,
he meant what He said.
Maybe joy does come from giving.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to think that the more we have or the more we get, the happier we are. But Jesus says the opposite is true. Joy comes from giving what God has given us, and He blesses us so that we can bless others.
Hmm. Yeah.
I fully agree with you, Dale. It definitely brings us joy when we give, because you think about, we just had Christmas, and everyone's probably loaded up on turkey and gifts right now, which is fantastic. And for myself, I know that I feel special. I feel loved, and it's awesome to have something from someone, to know that, like, hey, I took time out of my day to get you this, which is absolutely phenomenal. I realize that, like, how amazing it feels to receive something. That's prime motivation to give. And when you have, like, people who give and people who, you know, people receive, it's like a never-ending cycle of awesome, which is prime.
And we at our Christmas Eve service, we took an offering for, and we didn't take an offering for CRBC. We actually took an offering for another small church in Campbell River, which was Radiant Life Church. Small church. They don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of people, but they do an amazing work. They reach out to their community. They reach out to the homeless. They reach out to the less fortunate. And so we wanted to bless them. And I'm going to be able to take a gift from you because of your generosity. This is exactly what Paul is talking about here. I'm going to be able to take this gift and give it to Radiant Life and experience some joy from giving and say, this is from CRBC. And you know what? They're actually giving to us too. Adrian just told me this morning that they have some leftover toys and things that we're going to use for our outreach ministry that they want to give to us. And so they get joy, we get joy, and we're partnering together. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. And it's so great to be a part of what God's doing. Just fantastic. So verse 12, you want to carry on there, Dale?
Yeah, verse 12. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality.
Yeah, so Paul is saying that When we talk about being generous, we aren't talking about overextending ourselves so that somebody else can be comfortable and we can be left with nothing. That's not what he's talking about here, or is it? I don't know.
I find that verse a little bit of a hard one because there's a little bit of an escape route for me there.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
There's a loophole.
There might be a little loophole because it might be hard on me if I give away
sure.
this or that.
You might have to sacrifice
right,
something.
Sure.
Your
yeah.
Maserati.
You know, yeah.
Yes.
I gave that one up a long time ago. You know, we tend to justify what we think we need to have.
Mm-hmm.
Or what going without might mean to us. And sometimes we need to understand what going without means, not in our economy, but in light of God's economy. And I know you talk about that quite a bit, understanding it, things in light of God's economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even found for myself, trying to understand stewardship, you know, sometimes my desire to be a good steward can make me fearful of, you know, not leaving enough in my savings account or not mm-hmm. putting things in my certain silos.
And so you're living out of fear.
I mean, if I had a savings account, I would
right,
be
sure.
worried about
yes.
what I could put in there.
I feel your pain.
Yeah. or the fear of what might look like a poor financial decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of thing. And that Jesus' idea of generosity oftentimes turns my perception of stewardship on its head.
Mm-hmm.
It can sometimes be completely different than what I thought was the correct way to steward.
Yeah, and this next part answers some of that, actually. So verse 14, Jaden, why don't you read that?
Right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough.
Yeah, and this is another tough one, again, along that stewardship area. If you consider yourself a good steward, you know, it's conflicting a bit there. And I'm learning that a humble heart is willing to accept some help. And again, that's different than that common thought or something that I've absorbed. And that's that thought that if I have my act together,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to need help.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't need help.
That's right.
If I've done things correctly. It's when we're generous givers, we sometimes get to know the impact of our generosity. And if we are open to help, we may experience the impact of the acceptance from a generous
mm-hmm.
giver.
Yes. And that takes a lot of humility to do that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jaden, you in your paper you mentioned that there's only one area, one sphere of life in which God challenges us to test him, right? Talk a little bit about that.
It's found in the book of Malachi, or as I like to say, the book of Malachi,
right?
The Italian prophet.
The Italian prophet.
So in the book of Malachi, here you have Malachi addressing the nation of Israel, and he's and I absolutely find this so intriguing, you guys, because nowhere else in Scripture does God say it's okay to challenge him, and this is very unique, and it's not a one-time thing either. This is as much as applicable as it, back then as it was today, which is really cool. And can I read?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Let's read Malachi.
So Malachi, for those of you who have your Bibles, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10.
And Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, if you're actually looking for it.
So, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouses, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test.
So what's happening there, Jaden?
So here you see the Israelites being goofballs. They have been depriving themselves of the Lord's blessing. by withholding their tithes and offerings. And as we'd mentioned earlier, Israel, when they tithed, when they gave to the Lord, that was a way for the Levites to survive. So I don't know how the Levites are surviving at this moment, if the if Israelites aren't doing their job. But thankfully, you know, God, he addresses that and their poor decisions. And he says, hey, giving is, it's a simple choice. It begins with yes or no. And he says, he goes so far as to make a promise with them. And as we know in Scripture, when the Lord makes a promise, it is eternal. And there's nothing on heaven and earth that will ever shatter that. And he says in the Word, he says, I will, if you return to me, I will return to you. And it's a simple, you know, I just want you guys to acknowledge what I've given you. And if in the grand scheme of things, 10% of what we have when we give to God, when we tithe to the church, it's dull in comparison to what God has given us. There's no way we can ever thank God so much for all that he's done for us. And the Lord promised to return to the Israelites if they just did this simple thing. And as it happened then, it happens today. That promise stands true. You know, if we trust God with our finances, if we trust God with the way we give, if we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he'll take us places.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely fantastic.
So, Dale, it sort of sounds like a get-rich-quick scheme, is it?
Not at all. Because we're also promised that we'll suffer and have trials.
Mm-hmm.
And in that passage in Corinthians, we find out that some gave away so much that they needed help, that they'd be promised help when they needed it,
mm-hmm.
When others were able to give.
Yeah.
So, there's no pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
If you give 100 today, you're not going to get 1,000 next week. You may.
Mm-hmm. And you may
but
suffer.
You may not.
You may suffer.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we want to be very careful that we aren't manipulating and saying, if you do this, because I've heard preachers do this, if you give this, then God's going to bless you. That's not what this is saying. But it's saying, do you trust God? Everything that we have is actually God's. 100% of what we have is God's. Not 10%, but 100% of what we have is God's. Do you trust me with it? That's what the book of Malachi is saying. Do you trust me with it? Will you give some and trust me that I'm going to help you get to the end of your month? Now Jesus talked so much about money. And he was dirt poor. He didn't have land, he didn't have a house. He went day to day. But yet he talked about money more than almost any other topic, or about how we use our money. Why do you think that is?
He talked about it because how we use our money is a barometer. You said it before, it's a barometer of our heart condition. And it's no different than anything else that we've been given through him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason he talks about it so much is because he knew, as a human. We were talking about this earlier, and I was thinking about Christmas time and gifts, and my little niece was over and kids, and I kind of thought about Jesus and maybe his siblings and other kids, and there's sometimes a lot of mine, you know, that seagull, that out of that movie. Does anybody know what I'm talking
mine,
about?
Mine.
Finding Nemo.
And so he knew what it was like to feel, that's mine. That's mine.
That's our heart, isn't it?
That's our heart. And he knew how difficult it could be for us,
mm-hmm.
To give up what we work so hard for,
mm-hmm.
or what we want to have control over.
Right,
and money is one of those
yeah.
things.
And our mentality is, we work hard for it, so it's mine. I should be able to decide what to do with it. It's mine. Yeah, Jaden, how about you? Any thoughts?
I'd have
on that?
To agree with you guys. Like, honestly, God doesn't care about our money. Like, he really doesn't. There's nothing on earth that he doesn't already own. He cares about our heart. And when Christ says, like, you know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's, he's saying, you know, let the world have their stuff. Don't worry about, you know, getting caught up in, I got to pay the bills, I got to pay rent, I got to pay my loans off and stuff like that. all of that stuff, like our debt, it's kind of weird to think of. Our debt belongs to God, and he still controls that somehow, which is mind-boggling. And he says, you know, just let the world have their thing and focus on me instead, because I'm the one who has everything. I control everything. And you know, when we set our sights on heaven, there's nothing on earth that can blemish, that can taint our faith in him.
Yeah, so it all comes down to our heart. Am I going to trust God? So Dale, hey, thanks, guys. That was fantastic.
You're welcome.
And give these guys a hand. And Dale, I'm going to let you have the last word here, chairman of the board. And I want to ask, how would you challenge us as a church, CRBC, finishing off 2015 and heading into 2016? We're coming into a new year. You know, God has so... We had an amazing 2015. We saw multiple baptisms and hearts turning to God, people coming to Christ, and broken hearts being healed. We saw so much of that, and I believe God's going to do so much more in 2016. What would you say to us as we move into 2016?
Yeah, just before I do that, I just want to thank Jaden and if you're sitting there and you get those thoughts when you get old like me and you go, what's wrong with these kids today?
Everything.
Hey, Steve, you ever heard that? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with these kids today. I mean, we got this great worship team up here, and we got people that serve, and then we got young guys like Jaden that want to follow Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
And so the church, you and I will pass away, and the church will continue on. Mm. Because young people will fill our shoes as they come up behind us. Firstly, I would just like to thank, and I'm speaking not just for myself, but on behalf of the board and the leadership team. I'd like to thank all of you whom have given to CRBC in this past year. You have given of your time, your talents, and your finances, and for that we are very grateful. We are grateful for the results of these gifts, for the changed lives through your hard work and so many of the different ministries that go on here throughout the week. We're thankful for the many baptisms and for the support of our missionaries through your giving. We are also grateful for the physical needs that have been met through your benevolence, through giving for our benevolent fund and through your personal benevolence, and for your prayer and for your fellowship. There is so much that's gone on here in the past year that we are grateful for. And we are mostly grateful to our Heavenly Father who supplies all of our needs so that we may also give. I would be thrilled to see us finish off 2015 financially strong, and to be able to give our supported missionaries a year-end payment that would make up any shortfalls that they may be experiencing. And heading into 2016, we would be grateful for your prayers as the board is tasked with making decisions for our upcoming budget. Many of these decisions will be based on looking back at 2015 and in years previous. So please pray for us. And pray with us as we consider how God would have each of us give in 2016. Most importantly, I'd like you to pray that we would be and continue to be a church that uses the tithes and offerings given in His name to be obedient to that which He has called us. And we are called to love God with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our soul, and all of our mind, and to love others as ourselves. So thank you.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've stamped your image on our hearts. Your character is something that you are working in us. You're chipping away at us and transforming us to be like Jesus and more loving and joyful and kind and peaceful, faithful, and gentle and self-controlled and generous. And thank you, Father, for giving that heart to this church. We've seen it over and over in this last year, Lord, how they have given sacrificially. They've given whenever there's a need brought forward for somebody in our community or overseas or wherever, they give. And I just thank you for that. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to chip away at us, and so that our heart would be your heart. And so that when we see people, we would see them as you see them, that we would love them like you love them. And so I just ask for lots more of your grace, Lord. And we just thank you that you're going to do that. We just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.